Well, thank you on behalf of our Kids Connect kids for sharing that. It is a wonderful time here to see how the kids have grown in their understanding of what many of us have learned all of our lives, these wonderful Bible stories. To see these children grow in their understanding of that, it's just a wonderful thing for the Kids Connect to be able, leaders especially, to be able to witness and see how these stories are really becoming a part of the lives of the children here. And so thank you for sharing. Thank you for leading us in song. Today we're talking about kicking off this idea of identity. And so I wanted to ask you to do something. For those of you that are our members, you're hopefully getting used to this. If you're not one of our members, bear with me. But this is kind of that interactive part. And because we're in an outdoor environment, I may need you to speak up. But I want you to pick a word or a phrase that you would use to identify yourself if you were lost, like at an airport. If somebody was going to come looking for you, how would you say for them to find you? And, of course, say you're lost now. So how would you describe yourself? I need somebody to say how they would describe themselves so they know how to be found. Put you on the spot. Yeah, Leon.
The old bald guy.
Well, Leon, I'm looking out over the crowd here, and that doesn't get very far. Now, you may eventually be found, but you may be one of the last. But that's a good way. Anybody else?
Looking for a home.
So you're looking for a guy that's wandering around, doesn't know where he's going. He may be in an airport, and for some reason he's looking for a home. So try to find that guy. Somebody else. Yeah, Henry.
I'm blind. I can't see where I'm going.
Blind and can't see. Yeah, that would help. So you're looking for somebody that is obviously trying to navigate around without being able to see very well. That will narrow the crowd down. Somebody else. Mary. You would be bawling your eyes out. Yeah, she's lost in an airport. She doesn't know where she's going. She's frantic. She's bawling her eyes out. Look for the lady who's crying. Bev. Yeah, so you're looking for, how would you describe that blue, multi-blue shirt? So, again, you may be one of the last. I see a number of people with blue here. Yeah, Mary. Yeah, somebody, they may just be waving their arms around, so that would narrow it down. One or two others yet. You're lost. You need to be found. How would you describe yourself? Five, five, blonde hair. So all of these things are different ways in which we somehow, at different times, identify ourselves when it comes to how you describe yourself or where you find your identity. That is very important. Our world, our country, our society is talking a lot about how to identify. And we have heard a lot of that lately in how there's a change in the way people identify, or maybe they have changed the way they identify themselves. All these things are important in our society right now, and so we're going to be talking about that today and over the next few weeks too as we continue in our series outside. So part of that is what methods do you use to identify something? If you had to, Nathan, if you had to, I'll put you on the spot, and I won't do it again if you just get up and leave, but if you had to identify your car, how would you do it?
Old and rusty.
Old and rusty. Yeah. That's a good way. How else, Brad, how would you define your car? Black Buick with lots of decals on it. One other. How do you identify a car? Dale, you know how to identify a car, don't you? Little red buggy. Yeah, I saw that little red buggy. Sometimes we do it by make, right? I drive a Ford. So that would narrow it down to a few different things. Some would call it by its color. I drive a blue car. Okay, so that doesn't tell me other than what color it is. I drive a convertible. Okay, that's one way you might identify. I drive an import. Where it was made would be one way to identify. I drive the one with gull wing doors, the one that has special features to it. How do you identify a tree or a plant? What are ways that you might identify a tree or a plant? By the leaves, right? Maple leaf has a distinct look to it. Any botanists here? Bark, yeah. Bark is usually a giveaway. Yeah, whether it's a conifer or a deciduous tree, whether it has leaves or cone bearing, you might do it by its flower. A dogwood would be one that's easily identified that way. How do you identify a country? Sure, yeah, you could point it out on a map. That's one way to identify a country. What symbols do they use? A flag, yeah. Our son had a world atlas and maps and flags and everything, and he could identify countries by its flag. That's a great way to do that. If you have money, how do you identify the money that you have? It's got a number, yeah, it's value, right? If it just has a single digit on there, you better have a whole bunch of them. Coins, it has something on there. There's also on money, there is a identifier as to when it was made, so how long that coin or bill has been in circulation. It would also say whether it belongs to the U.S. or to South Africa or to the Netherlands or wherever you might be. It gives an indicator of that, and also where specifically it was minted or printed. Those are things that would help you identify the money that you have and want to use. How do you identify people? How would you identify yourself? So not that you're lost, but how would you identify people? What are some of the ways that we would talk about people in a way to identify them? Age, yep. Old or young, so we've got both here. Community, yeah, what community they belong to. Yeah, Sherry? Grandkids, yeah, you would refer to them as those that belong to you and what relationship they are to you. What are other ways that we identify people? Thin or heavy, right, yeah. That would be one of those things that you might do. Other ways that we identify people. Male or female? What was the other one back here? Tall or short? By race, yes. Which would include either color of skin. That would narrow it down. We might speak of the Asian people. We might speak of Latinos. Those that are of German descent. Those that are of African descent. Those of Middle Eastern. All those kinds of things are different ways that we might identify people. You can also, some of those things that we were talking about are also some of the ways that you would identify cars or trees, a country or money, by its age, how big or small it is. So some of the things, when it comes to people, we use those same kind of descriptions when it comes to the things around us, color and age and value sometimes. We look at some of those things. If you look into a mirror, you would also see some things that would keep reminding you of your identity. Sometimes it's not just the fact that you have facial hair or not, or you've got a scar, or your hair is messed up, or whatever. When you look in the mirror sometimes, what you would be reminded of is more the depth of who you are. Ever realize that? When you look in the mirror, there are certain things about you that when you look into the mirror, you don't just see the outer reflection. Sometimes you see the person that you think you are, that maybe other people don't see, or obviously it isn't apparent to other people. If you have been a victim of something that nobody knows about, when you look in the mirror, you may see that person, but nobody else would. If you are in a place of grief, but you're still putting on a happy face, you look in the mirror and you see the grief that you're experiencing, but other people don't see that. There are different ways, though, that we talk about and use to identify each other. Sometimes we're identified by what we've done. I can tell you, well, I'm not going to today, I can tell you some of the things that I have done that people would use to identify me by or characterize me by, some of my past sins, the things I'm not very proud of, or maybe some of the great accomplishments. Either way, if you have been a habitual liar and people know that, people will identify you as somebody that's not trustworthy. Yeah, you can't trust so-and-so because they're constantly lying, and you're identified because of what you've done. Sometimes we identify people or we get our identity by what other people say about us. And that's all too common in our world today. You're a no good so-and-so. You'll never amount to anything. It always amazes me that people actually say that to other people. But it causes that receiver of those words to be shaped in some way. They get some sort of an identity from what other people think of them. We find that in so many different ways. We have this sense of identity even when it comes to social media. If you put something out on social media and you get like 3 likes, whereas your other friend, they constantly get 150 and 20 shares and everything else and all these wonderful comments, and you hardly get anything. How other people interact with you will cause you to think differently about yourself. Well, I must not be nearly as good as so-and-so because I don't get the same kind of attention they do. And so we have had it at times where what other people say about us has changed in some ways what we think about ourselves. So I want to take us back to a place where I absolutely believe it's essential for you to understand when you think about who you are. Because all these different ways that we've talked about, your ethnicity, the color of your hair, the color of your shirt, the how tall, how short, how fat, how thin, how intelligent, how rich, all of these kinds of things are a part of how people use to describe other people or to describe themselves. But there's something far more fundamental that I want to offer you today as far as how you identify. I want to read something from the very beginning of the Bible. For those of you that are already believers, this is a crucial book for you. It is the only life-giving book there is on the face of the planet. For those of you that are maybe not believers yet, this is a book that you have to decide on whether or not you accept its claims or not. So I'm going to tell you what the Creator of all things has said. So in the beginning, and that's the way this book starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In that, we find out there is one supreme being who is above all things, who sits in a place of authority, and rules over everything. Now, as I say that, authority and rule are not necessarily always warm and welcoming words for people. But I want to work through the idea that you will be glad he is. But it goes on after it talks about the ways in which everything was created. At the first chapter of the first book, Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, at verse 26, says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to the beasts of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The last act of creation was the crowning point of God's creation, and it was people. God said, "I'm going to make a species." There are species of trees, there are species of grass, species of animals, birds and fish and everything else, and there are species of people. We are another one of his creatures. But I want them to have a special significance, a special identity. I'm going to make them in my own image. And people have wondered about what that means for a long time. What I can tell you, though, is that you have particular significance in God's eyes. Above everything else, you know, you go out on a walk, you see beautiful flowers, and you stoop down and you look at them, and you're just amazed by the beauty that's in them. You go and you look at the grandeur of the mountains and everything, and it's just amazing what God has done. And people will marvel at the things of creation. But the most marvelous part of God's creation is you. You were made in his image. And so if you begin to realize your own significance in that way, that is going to change the way you think about yourself. The more you and I understand what it means to be made in the image of God and why we are so important, it's going to change the way we identify. We're going to look more at that in the weeks to come. But so if you chose a different starting point, And people do that. People, lots of people in our world choose a different starting point other than what I read to you. They will say that they would trace their origins back in different ways. It was a cosmic explosion at one point, and everything over long periods of time began to develop until it happened to come about in the way we see it today. And it just took a long time for it to get there, and it was all this process of maybe survival of the fittest. You've heard of that way of thinking about life, how life came about and how life exists today. If we are the best of the best of the species, people have thought that way. We're just the most advanced species on the face of the earth, so we have significance. Except for if you trace that back, it all started by a happenstance and chaos and confusion and explosion, and and random, and there's so many things about that that just don't sit well with me, because if that's the way it started, I don't have particular significance unless I compare myself to somebody else or to something else. And I want to know that there's more to me than just a random series of events that have happened. If you considered your life this way, I want you to think about your life now and the way you identify. You are a building. Now, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus is with a bunch of his friends, and they're all coming out of a church for all practical purposes. They're coming out of a temple, and they're looking around as they exit the building, and the building is just amazing. Look at all these wonderful pillars. Look at the grandeur of this building. And it was just amazing to them. So if you think about your life as a building, you could think about the pillars that are there, how they support things. You can think about the windows and doors that allow people to come in and go out so that you could see in and out, so you don't feel trapped in there. There's a roof over the top to protect you from the rain. There's mechanical things that are involved in that. We have an air conditioning unit on top of our building here so that you'd stay cool in there. My grandson likes to point out every time he comes, there's a steeple up there, and it identifies this building. It has a specific function that was given so that they're raised up really high, so for miles around you could tell where the church was. If you're looking for the church, look for the steeple. There's electricity and there's water, all these things that make it function. But if this thing was built on a marsh and just 2x12s stacked up and then built up and then bricks added and everything without a solid foundation and a proper foundation, the building isn't going to last. As marvelous as it would be to see a building like that, it isn't going to last if it doesn't have that firm foundation. I want to make that argument for you as well. There are lots of good things about you. There really are. You have good qualities about you. Maybe that doesn't always show up. I know it didn't always in my life. But it didn't shape all of who I am, because there was a foundational aspect of my existence that I knew from growing up, and not everybody has that either. But I grew up understanding that I am connected to and grounded in the one who created all things. And that would always re-inform me of my significance and my identity. And so as we continue on looking at our identity, there will be different aspects of that we look at. As I finish, I want to leave you with another picture for your mind. Imagine you're out for a walk. Maybe it's in a place like this. Maybe it's along a beach. Maybe it's in the woods. Maybe it's in the mountains. Wherever you would like to walk. Maybe you're on a boat and you see something in the water. Wherever you're at, you come across something, and it's very strange, very peculiar. It's very intriguing to see what it is, but you're not sure what it is. It's not perfect. It's been out for a while. However it was intended to be, it doesn't look like it was supposed to. Maybe it's rusty or broken or whatever, discolored. Maybe there are things on it that you can tell that probably don't function the way they should, but it's intriguing to you. And so you start to ask people what this thing is. You talk about this to other people, and nobody really seems to know what it is. They all have ideas about it, and they all start to talk about this with you, as far as maybe it's used for this function or that purpose. Maybe it's just a piece of art. Maybe it just sits there, and it's meant to look beautiful. Maybe it was part of something else. But nobody really seems to know. And then you come across the person that says, oh, I know what that is. I made that. And let me tell you about why I made it and why it's so significant. And the creator of that thing begins to tell you how much care went into making that thing and why it was made in the first place and why it's so valuable to the creator, because he had such a wonderful purpose for it, except for somewhere along the way, it was broken down. Something happened to it that it got separated from its owner, and it began to seemingly lose its value. You may be in a place where you don't think you have much value. Not good enough in whatever way you can describe. But the reason why you and I and the world around us doesn't realize how valuable we are is because we haven't heard from the Creator that says, this was my purpose for you. This was my intention for you. This is my plan for you. And if you're willing to listen to that and accept that, His plan for you will continue in exactly the same way that He would that He purposed for it in the beginning. He will bring about the restoration and the purpose of what He created. Your identity, my identity, goes back to a starting point. And when you realize that you have great value in the Creator's eyes, that is going to make all the difference for you. Where your starting point is in your identity will change the way you think. Dr. Neil Anderson said this: your belief about yourself determines your behavior. Think about that. Your belief about yourself determines your behavior. If you don't think you're valuable, you're not going to behave in a way that shows any significance in the world. You won't think you have anything to contribute. If you think that you are broken, damaged goods, why try? If you believe that you have significance in somebody's eyes, you will begin to behave in a way that will show that. But some people think just the opposite. The way I behave determines how I should think about myself. I would be in a real big mess if that were the case, because the way I've behaved over my life at times, if I would let that shape my identity, or if you would let your experiences, your actions, your behaviors in your past make that decide your identity, we're just not going to be worth much. And especially if we compare it to other people. There will always be somebody better than you, smarter than you, thinner, bigger, smaller, shorter, taller, more hair, whatever it is. But if you understand who you are in God's eyes, you'll start to behave differently. And so we're going to keep talking in the weeks to come. There are challenges to our identity. Because if something in you resonates with what I was saying about being created in the image of God, that is a wonderful assurance that we have. But I'm here to tell you, whether you are a long-term believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what has been said in the book called the Bible, that is the revelation of God to His people, if you believe all that, you have been a long-time believer, you still have identity matters that you need to wrestle with. I know you do. I've talked to most of you about things. I know I have identity issues that I still wrestle with, even though I proclaim that this is absolutely true. I know the depth of my identity, but there is somebody working against me all the time. that wants to change who I am, and he wants to change who you are. We'll be looking at those kinds of ideas about how do you deal with the world in which we live then? How do you overcome the challenges to your identity? How do you keep rooting yourself in more and more into this identity made in the image of God? We'll keep wrestling with this, but I wanted to bring you to this place where we start here. We start at where the origin of your identity began. All of life began that way. To me, that is a great place of hope to start with, because I know he has a perfect purpose. When he looked at everything that he had made the way he intended it to be, he said, it was very good. And that's what he has in store for you if you continue to follow him and root yourself in him, in Christ. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we just stop for a moment to allow the words that you have given to us to be wrestled with, so that we can contemplate them, we can digest them a little bit, and see if that helps us in our understanding. There are many people here, Father, that have believed their identity being rooted back to the very opening page of Scripture, where we are created in the image of the Almighty God. And yet, even us as long-standing believers wrestle with who we are. We have wrestled throughout our lives with our worth, our value, our place, our importance. We have been fed lies throughout our lives. And sometimes we have bought into those lies which go against what you tell us about our own value, our own worth, our own purpose, our own identity. There may be people listening that never really put their identity in a single Creator God who rules and reigns over everything, because it just seems too limiting. Or maybe they just never heard before. But there are those, Father, that may be listening that wonder if there's more to this identity in this grand Creator, and especially as it's laid out, as it's revealed in this book that we read and listen to. So I pray, Father, for us all that we would be in a place where your presence in our lives would continue to remind us of how significant we are in your eyes and how valuable we are in this world because of you, because of what you have said about us. And so help us to keep our ears and hearts open as we continue on in the future about what you do say about us, and how to find a strong, solid foundation in our identity. Because it does matter, Father, and it matters extremely to you. So bless us in this day, and help us to be aware of who we are and whose we are. It's in your most holy name we pray. Amen.